good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, my name is Kern, and welcome, one and all, to episode 30 of Blessing of Frost. With me, I guess that there's no getting around it now, is Magic. Yes. It seems like he's always here.
That's me. I'm Magic, and I'm here with you on this podcast. Awesome.
Yeah. What a great plan by both of us.
I know, right?
And can you believe...
I can't get enough time with you, obviously.
Oh, sweet lord. Yeah, I can't believe that we've withstood each other's presence for 30 episodes.
But this is 30, right?
Well, okay, 29 episodes up till now.
Okay. Well, so then yes.
It's kind of horrifying.
Kind of awesome.
We were planning on doing something interesting for episode 30,
But we're not.
We're not.
You get the same boring show, as always. God.
But we may have plans for 31, so stay tuned.
Yes.
Our guest today is a raider in Apotheosis. He is a warlock. You know what? I'm not really sure what name to use here, so I'll just call him X, which is one of his actual nicknames. X, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me. And if you're not sure, just go ahead and use my current name in-game.
I'm not going to say that.
In case anybody wants to check out my armory to see how to warlock it up.
You have a stupid accent in your name anyway.
Then I will tell them how to do it after you say my name.
I'm not going to say your name. So he was formerly Dreadsinger, and everyone just calls him X anyway.
So there you go.
Not everyone.
Most people. No one calls you by your new name.
That's true.
I can think of two that do.
Lies.
I'd have to guess that they happen to be in the minority.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure two is a minority of a guild, yeah.
Well, you'd hope so at this point.
If I know anything about which number is smaller than the other.
Excellent. So I guess we'll move on into lore mass or anything exciting this week.
Oh, sweet lord.
Is that sweet lord yes or
No.
No,
not really exciting, but just I feel like my life has been taken over by Ragnaros.
That doesn't sound fantastic.
No, it's not. It's watching videos, trying to see where we can tweak our current strat. Is our current strat working? And if so, why can't we execute it half the time? And stuff like that. It just feels like life has been overtaken by Rag, which is really unfortunate.
Well, it would be less unfortunate if you were dying.
Yeah, no, that's true. Absolutely. Like, as soon as that guy just bites the big one for us, then I'll be very happy to be consumed with thoughts of Ragnaros and his sweet, sweet loot.
Well, there you go.
But we're not there yet.
We're just going to work on that part.
Yeah, executing. That's a really good thing to do. So apart from that, I took a bit of time off from the game on Saturday. I had a housewarming party at a friend's house. She just moved back to Montreal from being in London for like 4 years. So she and her husband and their two kids are all back in town, and that's great. And I got to hang out with them and see their new pool. And I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in ages. Unfortunately, none of her WoW playing friends were there. So I couldn't, try to get them to join our guild.
That's too bad.
Like, I'm not above doing that.
I know.
So that was a good Saturday afternoon, and then I went off to see Shakespeare in the Park on Saturday evening.
And what show did you see?
It was Macbeth. The Scottish play.
Gotcha.
Quite well done. I definitely did enjoy it. And it was, it's sort of a summer tradition for me and some friends of mine, so that was fun. And followed up with ice cream, of course, so that was excellent.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Then on Sunday, I did a podcast. I was a guest on a podcast, and it was very, very, very weird to be on a podcast without you to mock.
Is that a positive or negative?
I don't know yet.
You don't have, I guess you'll have to listen to the episode.
Yeah, I sort of felt a little at loose ends throughout the entire recording of the episode because I was just like, this would be a great time to say something, bad about Magic.
Well, you can't win them all.
No, I cannot. But the podcast was fun. It was it's called My Epic Heels at myepicheels.com, and it's hosted by Ead and Wolf. And the other guest on the podcast, it was a Pally-centric one, was Vidyala.
I know her.
Who our listeners may recall from a previous episode of Blessing of Frost. Vid is now healing full-time on her Pally. So she does not have the legendary staff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she was previously playing her mage, but she is now playing her Pally Vidyala. So it was fun to talk to her again and get to know these guys, Ead and Wolf. Like, apparently Ead looks up to me and Vid and a couple other people. Like, we're his, like, heroes or something. And I'm just like, I'm moderately uncomfortable with that, but okay. Thank you. So that was actually a lot of fun. We had a few laughs afterwards, too. Yeah, and that was basically what I did this week, along with, you know, more Ragnaros.
More rag. Rag all day, every day.
All rag, all the time. There is no escape. Yeah. So, X, how about your week?
Not a whole lot to my week in-game. I ran SSC and TK to get some vanity gear, since you won't give it to me in our current raids.
That's very true.
Got my entire Corruptor set from one run of each, which is fantastic.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Sick.
I know, right?
That seems great.
I've been having some trouble with my internet, as we saw on Sunday, so I haven't been playing too many games online. Got a lot of work done on my single-player Minecraft game. Going to get some teeth pulled.
Oh, that sounds pleasant.
Sounds like a busy, not at all. Busy week.
It's been so boring. I cannot wait to get back to raiding and killing things.
Yeah, yes. Killing things in a raid would be good. That's been a little bit, sadly, as heard in the Nefarian suggestion.
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I literally don't get it.
It's all right. It's an inside joke.
All right.
An inside joke that nobody understands.
So inside of a group of one person?
Not quite. There's probably one more out here, but that's okay. Anyway, how about you know, Rag not die?
Rag not dying sucks.
Yeah, we haven't killed, you know, stuff since Thursday, and even our whole raid week hasn't been that fantastic, sadly.
Oh yeah, we'll talk more about that when we get to Slash Raid, but yeah, it was a little lackluster, shall we say.
Yeah, I actually, for my week, I played some WoW as well, and that's been fun. And on Tuesday, crafted the first stage of the staff, which is awesome.
Congrats.
And it's very shiny and purple, and hoping to move that along quickly. So that's good. And then, yeah, I don't know. I actually wasn't on WoW all that much this week due to work-related terrible time schedules, and I've been playing another game called League of Legends, which Fog has been telling you about, and which I know a few people in our guild play as well.
And, traitor?
It's not like... It says the person that I play like TF2 with as well.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to comment on her second paladin.
Oh. Well, at least Boom. I'm still loyal to the game.
Well,
mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
To the game, if not the guild, right?
So, I've been having some fun with that and looking to get back on some sort of normal schedule so I can play some more WoW as well and do some battlegrounds and arenas and get back into it. Yes, it saddens me to be away from the game.
Yeah, I hear you.
Soon.
Soon. Soon your freedom shall be returned to you.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Is that with the TM?
Maybe. I'm too lazy to like file for a trademark registration though, so I guess not.
So not at this point.
No. I was referring to Blizzard's soon TM.
Oh.
I'm really the only one that's awake here, huh?
I think so. For those of you listening, you may be listening on Tuesday morning, but we're recording this at like 12:30 Eastern time on Tuesday morning. So I do apologize if we sound a little bit asleep. Magic more than the rest of us.
Listen,
that's for sure.
I sound fantastic, as I do every time on this podcast, all right? There's no way that I could be improved anymore, and that's all that has to be said about
that. Oh, boy, that's actually how you're thinking. You're more sleepy than I thought.
That's a farce.
So with that, we'll move into hot fix. There's not a lot to talk about in terms of hot fixes aside from one huge change.
I was going to say, there's not a lot. I wouldn't say there's not a lot to talk about. There's not a lot of hot fixes. There's only, what, one hot fix?
No, actually, there are several little hot fixes.
Oh, and then the one ginormous one.
Including, you know, Ocuthar has apparently come into a larger supply of PvE gear than he previously possessed, which I think is a load of crap. But yeah, there's lots of little things. I'll link the hot fix in the show notes. But the big thing is that threat generation for all tanks has been practically doubled. It has been increased to 500% up from 300%.
Yeah, seems pretty phenomenal, which I absentmindedly noticed on the first one when my threat was low after like a burn phase right at the beginning. And usually it's pretty high to a point where I have to like invis halfway through a burn phase. But then I'm noticing, like, wait a second, I am nowhere near where I should be. And I thought I was, like, casting the wrong spell or didn't have buffs on or something. But no, it turned out, you know, this hotfix had gone into place.
Yeah, it applies to warriors in defensive stance, death knights in blood presence, druids in bear form, and paladins with righteous fury.
Now, tanks.
Tanks.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
however, I have the ability to turn on righteous fury, right? So I haven't tried that out yet.
Are you suggesting it sort of makes paladin like off-heal tanking more viable than previously?
No, I'm just saying that like if I really want to get the attention of some mobs like on Rhyolith or whatever, and I turn on Righteous Fury, like that can be significantly painful for me. So I may not do that.
So hold on, well, is this something you did previously?
Oh yeah, the first few times we pulled Rhyolith, I had Righteous Fury up, and I was, you know, using Holy Radiance specifically to pull aggro on the adds to, like, bring them to me and that tank so that people like Jacilah and Hestia wouldn't get, like, three-shotted.
So if it's going to hurt, I suppose it's a good thing you'd have a heal lined up, huh?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, so the threat gen has been increased across the board for everybody, and it's just ludicrous now. Every tank worth their salt that I know is just like, this is boring now. Like, they don't have to manage threat. They only literally now have to, like, hit the boss or mob or whatever a couple of times. Even me on my now level 81 feral druid, who's, like, feral and resto, I picked him up again, like, last weekend just to, for giggles, last week after the changes went into effect, just to see what it was like, and it was ridiculous. Even I could hold threat in, like, low-level dungeons, like 80, 81 dungeons, which is hilarious. Hilarious, because I'm not a good tank.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were suggesting on our forums, and I assume elsewhere, that they're going to be, with maybe the next patch, that they're going to be switching up the focus of tanks to being, you know, taking away from the threat and moving it towards, I don't know, mitigation is the word, or, you know, survivability, and making your focus on that instead.
Active survivability, yeah,
yes.
Like using Deathstrike to heal yourself the way Death Knight does, or using, using something like Ardent Defender in a cooldown way, but like on a more regular basis, you know?
Right.
So that should be interesting. But in the meantime, like, tanks literally just have to not stand in crap and make sure they hit the boss or whatever the mob is a couple of times, and that's basically it, and, like, hit their own cooldowns. So, I mean, it's not like threat matters anymore, and that's really sad to me as someone who came into the game ages ago and got used to what aggro was and what threat was, and you know, has always been able to drop threat as a hunter, which is great. But I find it really sad that threat no longer really matters, and people don't have to really manage their aggro at all anymore.
Well, I mean, managing aggro is unfortunate. You know, if all you're trying to do is put out bursts, especially as an arcane mage in the first few seconds of a fight, you're like blowing all your cooldowns and trying to just like crush. So the problem is that you always have to burn invis in the first, like during your burn phase. And so that's getting taken away by this change. And so I wouldn't say that it's the worst thing that's ever happened as far as me as a mage. But at the same time, I sort of understand where you're coming from, just because it sort of takes one entire responsibility away from the DPS, where now you should be crushing as hard as you can right from the beginning, and that's pretty much it. Whereas, you know, you had to sort of worry about your own survivability at the beginning of a fight previously.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why they did it, I guess, to an extent. I can't say that I'm thrilled with it, but I mean, I don't have a tank that I use frequently, and I don't go running dungeons as a tank frequently, and I don't, you know, I don't raid as a tank. So I can, you know, I can't really speak to the change too much, but it's just like everyone I know who really tanks regularly is like, this is such a joke now, I'm bored. Taunts or tank swaps are basically the only thing that's interesting for them on Rag, for example.
Even though they said they were falling, you could do it falling asleep, you know, during that, which is quite poignant right now.
yes, it is. So
Sorry, I was just saying, I guess right now, maybe it's just not tuned to where it is interesting, so who knows how long that it could suffer, you know, that kind of issue.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll really have to wait until 4.3, and we'll talk about that more later on in the show, to see what sort of changes they have in mind with regards to tanks and making them really responsible for their own survival as well. Which, you know, I don't know about you, but as a healer, that makes me sad, because that means that not only is the tank relying on me to keep them up, but, you know, I then have to rely on them outside of just, you know, the rare well-used cooldown. Like, I'm actively hoping that they'll hit this thing on a regular basis, like Deathstrike or whatever, and that, I don't know if that's gonna happen. I mean, like, in our raid group, sure, I don't have a problem with that, but, you know, pugs out there, like, learning to actively help manage their survivability,
well,
I'm scared.
Shouldn't people be doing that already, regardless of, you know, whether or not you're tanking? I mean, mages and other classes have such, like shields and stuff that reduce the amount of sort of damage, either general damage from something like mana shield, or more specific with, you know, absorbing fire, frost, or whatnot. And so you should really be, I mean, it just comes down to hitting defensive cooldowns in general. And if that becomes your job, then that needs to be your job as much as previously gaining threat was.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking about all those people who are too, you know, poor at their class to gain threat appropriately, that basically force this change. They're now going to be responsible for their own lives, yet no.
Yeah, but if they always sucked anyway, then they're still going to suck after the fact.
Exactly. So, I mean, all it's going to do is it's going to be more frustrating for the healers and the tanks instead of just the DPS and the tanks.
I think that in time you may be right, but as of right now, that a lot of the things are pretty easy to heal, assuming that a tank can keep threat. So for the most, like the more immediate change, I don't think that you're going to have those issues. Maybe, like I said, maybe in the future when they tone down or tone up the self-use mitigation, it'll make more sense. But right now, like you said, I think it's just a snooze fest.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least we know that this is only temporary in terms of, like, it's only part of what they're going to be doing. I guess we'll see what happens in 4.3, but as it stands, I'm not happy with that change, and I don't know that a lot of people really are either. I mean, DPS are, clearly, but I don't think a lot of tanks are all that happy.
Truth be told, I'm happy with the change, just because I do have an interest in learning how to tank. I don't have any tunes that I would want to tank with now, like any of my, what, 6 paladins or my 4 warriors. Their DPS, or one of my healers, is a PvP healer that I never play, for obvious reasons. But I would love to get into tanking. The last time I tanked was Violet Hold in Wrath of the Lich King. You remember that?
I do.
Don't laugh. You're making me feel self-conscious.
It was good times. I just remember.
She's laughing at the time between the first. Oh, no.
No. He was on dial-up. That's why I'm laughing. He was on dial-up at the time.
That's amusing. I have to admit that laughing is probably necessary there.
Now, while holding threat back then was very important, because I was on dial-up, I couldn't really rely on that. So I didn't tank much. So I spent a lot of my time learning, you know, how I could line up all my cooldowns, how often I had to death strike to keep myself topped off. And I had all those down. So when I got onto a broadband connection, I had an idea of how to keep myself alive as a good tank, but I didn't really have the threat thing down. And that really threw me off when I would say level another warrior or druid. If I queued up as a tank, I would just get really nervous, like, okay, what, I know how to keep myself alive. How do I keep the other people alive? And as a new tank, I really appreciate that I don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah, I guess that part of the change comes, too, in order to, you know, increase the number of tanks in the LFG system, which, you know, when it first came out, I was like, this is an amazing system, yay, hooray, and then all of a sudden, you know, after like 3 weeks when no one needed anything anymore from the new instances, from the Ice Crown instances, you know, it just started getting populated by suck. It still is.
And if I ever queue up as a tank, or in the far future, a healer, I don't want to contribute to that.
To the suck? The massive amounts of suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand. And, like, that's why this week when I played around a little bit with my bear, I said to myself, okay, first of all, figure out what your buttons do, because I hadn't touched the bear since, like, Wrath. So I figured out what my new buttons did and what my new priorities were and all that, and then I just joined a dungeon and things just stuck to me, and I'm like, this is dumb. But I mean, like, at the same time, I was a little bit thankful that I didn't necessarily have to know the class so well now that it was gonna, you know, that I was gonna add to the suck. Like, as it is, I don't think I'm adding to the suck if I run a normal dungeon on my bear. I hope, anyway. So that's the big change. A couple other things. Beth Talak does a little bit less damage on normal difficulty. Volcanoes on Byleth. He now activates them less often on normal. This is a big thing. Stepping on an active volcano on Ryolith now removes 16 stacks of his armor, up from 10 stacks on normal difficulty. And Ragnaros'
like
sons.
60% increase.
It's disgusting. Ragnaros' Sons of Flame should now be immune to silence effects, and our tank officer Dayton figured out why last night. It's because they weren't immune, so he could use his Avenging Shield to like stop, to freeze them or slow them or whatever, I guess it is. And now that they're immune to that, they're immune to the slow, so they can just take off.
I actually heard a different theory, but I don't know for sure. I heard that some people were silencing them as they were getting to the hammer. They would disappear, but they wouldn't cast the supernova.
Oh!
Not having a silence, I obviously could never try that, and I wouldn't want to on a progression fight. But that makes a little more sense, because the silence from the shield is a separate effect.
True. That's really interesting. Now I wish that it hadn't been hotfixed so we could go back and try it.
I thought you weren't one for trying to trick the system.
I would love to just see if that would work, just to see if, and then they could hotfix it again or whatever, but I would just love to see if that actually worked.
Oh, she'd have us wipe immediately after, don't worry.
Yeah, for sure.
She'd have all the priests run into the lava and life grip the tanks in.
So that's about it for hotfixes, and like I said, I'll link the hotfix notes in the show notes.
I guess with that, we can move on into a highly anticipated yet not too exciting slash raid.
That is a very good way of putting it. We had a rough week. We had a rough week.
Rough, yes, to say the least.
On Tuesday we went in, and there had been a lot of debate. You know, do we want to, you know, go in and just wipe on the bosses while letting Magic collect his charged foci?
Foci, okay.
And then summon Volcanus, and then do that event, and then go back and kill the bosses so Magic can get his Seething Cinders. Or do we just want to kill the bosses? So we eventually decided it would just be too much of a hassle. Yeah, too much of a hassle to, you know, make everybody wipe on bosses just so Magic could get his staff. So we went in and we did Chanox and Bathtalak and Ryleth, and then we went in for Alistrazor and we wiped like a couple of times, like twice or something. And Magic was like, oh, well, you know, I've got my foci now. Actually, no, sorry. Magic would say that he has his foci now.
I got the focus from Alistair's Orb.
Okay. And so...
So you're still wrong. It's okay.
And so we sent him away to go get his staff. Then we went and did Volcanus. Say,
yes, very good.
We did Volcanus. We wiped once, right?
Once. Well, that was humorous. Well, we had like had a couple people get blown away, and then that wasn't a great attempt.
Important safety tip: do not dispel the roots until after he does the cast of the damaging thing. Then you can dispel the roots.
Well, that's only like, you know, the main cornerstone of the whole fight. So I wouldn't say that's a pro tip. That's more of a if you want to get through the fight, that's what you have to do.
I said it was an important safety tip.
Ah. I think it surpasses important safety tip, though, and goes straight to, you damn well better know this, or else you're going to wipe.
I guess that's true. So we did Volcanus, and Madge got the branch of Nordrassil quest item, I guess.
Yes.
And then he went and did stuff while we cleared trash to Balrog. So Madge, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I mean, it's not actually all that exciting when I went over there and handed in like two quests. You know, just like from leaving, you have to go over to Koldara and speak to, I don't know, it's a bunch of dragons. the end result, see, but if you don't know what happens, I don't even know if I really want to go into it. The end result is that your soul is bound with that of Terragosa. And this comes up in the game because it'll randomly say in your emotes that your soul is bound with Terragosa, you know, thus reminding you of the fact that you're doing a quest. So, I guess it's compared. Although, did you ever personally know anyone? Could you get, what's the name of the sword off of that was off of in Max? I can't even remember.
Ashbur?
Now. Yeah. Didn't it like speak to you?
Yeah, that whispered to you, and so did Shadow's Edge and stuff.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's sort of like that. I didn't know anything about Shadow's Edge, but it's probably similar to that. And it says that their soul is with you and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't that exciting. I mean, the real exciting stuff was after the Embers, and then doing the, you know, cool little quest line in the Nexus, but...
Gotcha.
Yes. Outside of that, it was just really a couple of little cutscenes and handing quests in and just picking up the branch, which you get as an epic item.
Which is the first stage in the building of your staff.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, that's fun.
So, once he was done with that, we pulled him back in for Balrog, and we killed Balrog, I guess, in like two tries or something like that. So, I think that the healers are actually getting the hang of things. I might have just jinxed us.
Yeah, well, it wasn't nearly as bad as the last time Balrog was attempted.
That's quite true. So that went okay. And then we went to Elyse Resort. And we haven't had trouble on Elyse Resort like this for, like, weeks.
Since the issues of Bail Rock the week before.
No, no, no. But we haven't had issues with Elyse Resort in a long time.
Yeah, no. It's just... it just was not happening that evening. You were a sad panda, to say the least.
Not that night. I was a sad panda the next one.
No, you were a sad panda, both of them. I hate to tell you, but you could tell towards the end of the night. You were like, yeah, a little on edge.
Well, yeah. When people are dying to tornadoes or falling out of the sky or whatever, it's getting a little bit annoying.
Yeah, and then when that continued at the beginning of the next raid,
oh my god,
not quite that helpful.
I nearly lost it on people. I was like, seriously? What the F is going on? And I saw, like, tanks standing in brush fire. I saw people from the air team falling out of the sky. I saw people dying to harsh winds and fiery tornadoes. I'm like, guys, what is going on? I was very annoyed. And then finally, at one point, we identified a healing issue, which I hate finding healing issues. I mean, on the one hand, it explains everything. But on the other hand, it's just like, oh, brutal. So I had to be more clear in my instructions to the healers. And the healers on the blue side, my side, had not been clear on what they were doing. But we figured that out. And I said a few words. And things got back to how they should be. And we killed Elyse Resort on the next pull.
Yay!
So that was taken care of, at least.
Yeah, well, that should have been taken care of earlier, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, no kidding. Then we went in and we did Domo. We did okay on Domo, right?
It wasn't terrible.
No, not at all.
It was pretty decent, pretty solid.
It was quick enough.
Yeah, and then...
It was no Elyse Resort.
No, it was not. And then we went in for Ragnaros. Just like a pull, I think we did. Right? Or yeah, just the one pull. And we did really well. We got to like the second transition on that one pull. And I'm like, oh my god, we might actually get it on Sunday. We might actually get it on Sunday. You guys. Yeah, no.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Nope.
No. Got him to 14%, which like the Lich King fight, 10% is a win. So this really like 4%. But that was on the last attempt of the night. After struggling on second transition, like, the entire night, pretty much. So, I don't know. It little victory here. But yeah, like, I'm still like, how did we not execute in, like, attempts 1 through 17? And then suddenly 18, it's like the stars aligned, and we got him to 14%.
Well, we just have to have the stars align a couple, you know, more than once.
We need to learn to execute even when the stars don't align.
Well, yes.
I feel like I should be making an Algolon joke here.
I would laugh.
Look like the stars are aligning every time.
There you go. But yeah, so people did improve a lot this Sunday as opposed to the previous Sunday. The previous Sunday was terrible in terms of like avoidable damage, but we did a lot better on that. So props to Apotheosis for learning and getting used to the fight. I do appreciate that effort. Let's keep it up and let's push through and get him down this week.
Death.
Yes,
that's right.
Death
and maiming and slaughtering and such.
In other guild news, Cronus was a hunter of ours for quite some time. He actually swapped to being a Blood Death Knight, basically to help out the guild because summer came in and, you know, suddenly people had lives and such. So he came in and we had him trial as a tank. And he was promoted just the other day. So grats to Cronus. And our Resto Shaman app, Kitarisa, who joined, I guess, about 3 weeks ago, she had her final raid in her trial last night. And she did really well. And, that really tipped the scale. So we promoted her today. So grats to her as well.
Grats.
Yeah, grats to both of them.
Fantastic. Yay.
And that'll bring us into our guild tab. Our guest tonight, as previously mentioned, is X. He is a raiding warlock in Apotheosis. And geez, I've known X for like 7 years or something.
That sounds about right.
That's yeah. a while.
It's been quite some time.
I think we met a little after World of Warcraft actually started, but we didn't really start talking until a while later.
That's entirely possible. But yeah, so X is someone that I've known through various online communities for quite some time, and it got to the point where the people in this one chat room that we used to hang out in would tell us to shut up and take our Warcraft talk elsewhere. And I think that we actually got a few people in that chat room to fall off the wagon and start playing again, just because we would talk about it.
None of which are in the guild now.
No, none of them are in the guild at this point.
Actually, I think one of them is.
Really?
Well, I don't know if you can really count Hestia. Because I don't think that she fell off the wagon and had previously quit, etc.
She was always on.
I thought she did, but I could be wrong.
She was always on and or off the wagon.
I think we actually
she had a history with it.
Okay. All right. Well, X, how about you tell us a little bit about your warlocks. History. I'm not even going to go into a name of your warlock right now, but the history of that character.
It started out back when I was leveling my druid. When I first started playing seriously on my own account, Kern was back raiding Ulduar, I think. You were just starting. And I decided to make a tune on your server, and I decided to make a druid, because that would be a great idea. And I got her to the level cap, I boomkinned it up for a while, and I just stopped caring. So I made a warlock. And a guy I was living with decided he wanted to get into the game, so we did the whole recruit-a-friend thing. And I got some warriors up, I got a rogue to 30. And ultimately I got bored, so I was like, I should go back to my warlock. And I used all my recruit-a-friend levels to get her to 60. And I got my Felguard, and I just fell in love with the class. And I'd say it was probably shortly after TOC that I switched to my Warlock as my main. I spent a lot of time on my Druid and my Death Knight. But once I had an inkling of I could get into raiding, I could get off dial-up, I decided that a Warlock would be the class to go with. So I did some server hopping. I went over to Venture Co. for a while. And that was probably the worst mistake of my life. I'd like to give a shout out to Last Chance. They were about the only good thing on that server. They actually got me up to Professor Putrescite in ICC-10. That was my first experience raiding.
Nice.
But it was 10 man, so it doesn't count.
Aw.
Sorry, guys. That's just the way I feel.
Gotcha.
We had a pally tank that I won't name, because I'm not into the whole name and shame thing. But he was a douche.
Wow.
He was constantly talking about how he wanted to leave the guild and start something new and get the Lich King down. One day we logged in, he took 10,000 from the guild bank, all of our epic gems, all of our flasks, and just left. And he joined another guild. They were a 25-man guild. They were pretty good at progression, but they weren't too great overall. And he was forced to go ret from Prot, and he was benched for the next 3 months, and he quit.
Wow.
So after that, our guild just kind of fell apart. We stopped raiding, so I decided to move back. And it was about that time that we were coming up on the end of Wrath. So I came over to ET, joined up with Apotheosis, and I've been murdering things ever since.
Excellent. Murdering things is a good time, especially on a warlock. I mean, mine's only level 40, 3, but almost everyone I know that plays a warlock has only, occasionally they have alts. Granted, you seem to be an exception to the rule, but people love warlocks. They just do.
It's because we're so cuddly.
That must be it.
Clearly.
What would you say your favorite memory is from the game?
Killing the Lich King with Apotheosis.
On 10 or 25?
Doesn't matter. I started the game because I heard that Wrath of the Lich King was coming out, and I had been a longtime player of Warcraft 3, the original and the Frozen Throne. And I got into Warcraft. I wanted to kill the Lich King. That was why I played. And when it came up, I was like, I'm going to find a way to kill this guy. I know it. And I went from having to solo Karazhan to killing the guy that I've been waiting for like 5, 6, 7 years. And with a great guild. Oh, hands down, best moment of my raiding life.
That's awesome. Yeah, seeing the Lich King go down is pretty fantastic. And it's funny because when you do that, or when I heard you were going to be able to kill the Lich King, then you're like, well, that was sort of the main bad guy, wasn't it? Like,
where do you go from there?
Exactly. Like, when the discussion first came out about killing the Lich King, it was going to be like, well, maybe the Horde and Alliance have to work together because of how badass this guy's going to be, and so forth and so on. And he's dead. That happened.
He is very dead.
Screw Defile.
Yeah, not a big fan of that. Why did you join Apotheosis?
I knew Kern.
That's
great.
Sorry, guys. Fault.
That's really the only reason I joined. The little bit that I played before I started playing seriously, I was a nomad. Like, I played on Silverhand for a while. I played on some RP server, Dragon something. Or no, it might have been Wormrest. But I never seriously did anything, and I just don't care enough to find a guild with people that I like. So Apotheosis seemed like a good fit. I knew a couple people there. I knew a couple people from Bronzebeard were coming over, and I always enjoyed playing with them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was a friend rank over in Resurgence of Bronzebeard when I was there.
Yeah, and it just seemed like a good fit. They didn't hate me, and I had a chance to kill things.
Positives.
Axe, tell us what you like to do in game besides raid.
Essentially anything but PvP. I level alts like a madman. I can even stand to do archaeology once in a while. I've done almost everything that I can think of to kill time, including I've swapped from alchemy to engineering and back to alchemy, fully capped in one day.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was bored.
Bored, huh?
I love to level warriors and paladins. I don't know why.
Bored sounds actually kind of productive. Well, productive in one sense of the word.
Is productive on WoW really that productive?
I don't know.
Let's say yes.
So then yes, very. Excellent.
All right.
All right, our fifth question is a quirky question based on our guest. You are well known, at least by me, for rolling and re-rolling and re-re-rolling various alts. So all told now, how many warriors, paladins, and druids do you think you have now?
Give me a minute to count. go ahead and talk to Madge or something, and I'll find out.
Look how many...
I really do.
On each one.
We'll splice in the Jeopardy music here.
That's what I was going to say. That's a really good idea. Can we do that?
Do you want all of them or just level capped?
No, all of them.
Oh, God.
All accounts?
Yeah.
All account? What are you thinking?
I have
four.
I multi-box.
Oh, my God. Can we put the Jeopardy music in here? It's probably not legal.
You could probably get away with a clip.
Yeah, I could probably just put in a clip and just, you know, bear in mind that any Jeopardy music you hear on this podcast is copyright Jeopardy. And whoever does Jeopardy, please don't. We're having fun. That's all. We love your show.
Yes.
I love Alex Trebek.
Jeopardy's fantastic, but we're using your music.
Not for profit.
Nope.
It's all free.
You're not using it for profit.
Oh, sweet lord.
Someone's selling our podcast. That'd be awesome.
Who'd want to buy our podcast? Seriously, let's be serious here.
Now that I'm on here, less.
Are you still counting your
I am still counting. I just got through my first account.
This is an absurdly large number.
And this is just the warriors, the druids, and the paladins, because I know he has an affinity for those classes.
Oh, I forgot to count the druids.
Oh, sweet lord.
I'm kidding. I just finished counting. I have 17 warriors, paladins, and druids.
Wow.
That's a couple. Actually, that's more than a couple, I guess. A couple usually is defined as two, and that's more than the number two.
That's several couples right there. So my follow-up question for you, of course, is why the frilly hack do you have so many warriors, paladins, and druids?
I think it all comes down to the fact that, like we've talked about, I started playing on dial-up, so I really had to play on my own. To give you an idea, TOC5, the Army of the Dead from the last boss, every time I would go into it, I would disconnect.
So
five mans were out of the question. So I really had to find a way to play through without any downtime if I could avoid it. And I was always able to do that with warriors, paladins, and druids. They all had pretty good self-healing capabilities. I didn't have to worry about leveling first aid or anything like that, which I still don't do.
First aid is awesome. Shame on you.
I saw Toga use a Band-Aid in the last raid. I saw it happen.
Who?
Toga.
Toga's awesome. Way to go. 10 cool points to Toga right now.
I know, I saw it.
Okay, I could use a bandage, or I could use Death Coil, Drain Life, Healthstone, Haunt. I have Siphon Life from Corruption.
Okay, so you're
give me a Shadow Priest, and I have Vampiric Embrace. I don't need Band-Aids.
Fair enough.
But, like I was saying, warriors, paladins, druids, great self-healing. I managed to get one of my latest paladins to level 80 without a single death because of it.
Oh my sweet lord.
Nice. That seems awesome.
Then I lagged off a cliff.
Aww.
True story, mm-hmm. Madrona's very first death was to Hogger. At level
Such
10.
A baddie.
Well, okay. The story, the brief story, is that at level 10, I didn't know what I got back then, because it was like 5 years ago. So I go in, and I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm eligible for the Hogger quest. I guess I'll go kill him and then turn it in and then go train. Well, I get there, and I not only pull Hogger, but I pull an ad, and I, you know, bubble and everything, and I, you know, I dispatch the ad, and Hogger himself is dangerously low on health, and then he just, like, crits me in the face or something like that. I'm like, crap.
Delicious.
If only I had another heal. Like, oh, man, if only I had Lay on Hands. Game over, man. I go and I train. And what do I train? Lay on Hands. Yeah.
SadTrombone.com.
What?
SadTrombone.com. Go there now.
No, I don't think I will. And with that, we'll move into our general chat segment. This week's general chat will focus primarily on two very interesting announcements from Blizzard regarding 4.3, and they are void storage and transmogrification.
But Kern, what's void storage? You asked for it, I'm just saying.
I really did, guys. During the break, I actually said, if you don't know what it is, just ask me, and that'll be, like, how we tell the listeners about it. And, yeah, that was not forced at all right there, buddy. Way to go.
Tell. I know, so there you go. Well, are you going to tell me, or are we just going to discuss the, you know, the question, not helping?
Right.
Just the
so,
question.
Void storage, basically, it's an extra bank type thing, but it's long-term storage. It's stuff like that you don't generally use on a regular basis, but you don't want to get rid of. And to me, this screams past armor sets.
Well, yeah, we're going to get into that.
We'll get into that in a minute. So this is long-term storage stuff. You'll get 80 slots for it, and basically you'll have to pay to deposit
what?
And possibly withdraw stuff as well. Sort of like reforging costs or such, I believe they were saying.
I thought they were saying that about the other thing. I'm not sure what, unless you think it was based off item level on this as well.
I think it may be. Some of the details aren't really clear yet, because this really is all forecast for 4.3. So we have a bit of time between now and then, we believe. So basically, yeah. In return for this unique service, the Ethereals will require a small fee for each item deposited into or withdrawn from their void storage apparatus. Multiple items can be added and removed at once, and the cost of each transaction will be displayed at the bottom of the screen, updating dynamically as you select additional items to deposit or withdraw. And once an item has already been placed into void storage, it can remain there indefinitely for no additional cost.
So, is it worth it?
In my opinion, yes. Do you know what my bags and bank look like on both Kern and Madrana?
But the problem is it account-wide?
No.
See, so here's the problem, is that what else are you going to use that bank for that you don't already have a guild bank for the non-BOP stuff?
That's the thing, though. All of my actual bank space on both Madrana and Kern is full, like completely full with BOP stuff.
Right. Well, that's what I'm suggesting. I'm also suggesting what would you keep on them, like in that bank besides the BOP stuff, if you have Bank Tune already?
I think it would primarily be used for bind on pickup or soulbound in the case of BOE. Vanity items. Like I have 22 slot bags or bigger in every single slot, bank and bags. And I have 7 empty slots. And
total.
I have no plans total. I have no plans to get rid of anything that I have.
Exactly. Me either.
Because I want to use all of it for vanity.
See, I don't use it for vanity. I use various items to remind me of a time during the game. And for me, the game is all about making memories with various people. So, you know, the very first time I ran Nax 10 in Wrath, it was with Yuffie and Dayton and a few other people. And Yuffie and I, we cleared the entire instance. And at the very end, Yuffie and I, there was the helm. And we're both, you know, a priest and a pally. And so I'm like, look, I will give you the helm if you give me the mace that he dropped. He's like, deal. So I still have the hammer of astral planes or something like that from KT-10. And that's because I remember that Yuffie was willing to barter for it. And it sort of, you know, just reminds me of that time. And the fact that, you know, in one night, we just cleared the entirety of Nax 10.
Yeah, I just want to look pretty.
So, there's not a lot of use unless you have a lot of crap in your bank already. But there are so many people who have been playing for so long, and it's like, can we get like a wardrobe or something for our old tier sets? I mean, I know, Madge, I know you have all of tier 0 still.
Yes, I do. Tier 0, half a tier 5, and then almost any piece of tier I have picked up along the way of playing the game, I still have every single
right.
one.
Right. So how much bag space do you have?
In the bank? I have about 10 slots in the bank.
Right. So you have 10 slots in the bank. Is there anything that you've gotten rid of that you, not maybe not regret, but are sad that you've had to get rid of because you just didn't have room for it?
See, I don't think so, only because if I have, it's been stuff that is, like, that I can't remember why it's there anymore. And I mean, I'll cull my bank occasionally, but I don't see any other reason to have the bank. Like, to have the bank stuff then besides holding your BOP items.
But I think that that's exactly what it's there for. It's for long-term storage.
But I'm saying that the bank is just as good at that as this void thing. Like, why am I spending money to do what I'm already doing?
Because there's no more room in the traditional area, I guess. I mean, like, I would love to move stuff out of my bank and into void storage so that I can actually, you know, keep a stock of, you know, gems on Madrona, who is a jewel crafter, rather than constantly, you know, prospect one stack of ore at a time, because I don't have room in my bags for all of the gems and stuff I get from it. I would love to have room in my bags to go farming on Kern. I would love to, you know, do stuff, you know, with empty bag slots, like actually go out and go farming and, you know, killing things and be able to pick up all of the great items to vendor them, rather than, you know, just pick and choose based on the value of each.
But if you're having issues of picking up items, you really don't think there's anything you can cull out of your bank of full whatever number of slot bags and filling your bank up, like, the question is it really that you have that much stuff worth saving, or are you hoarding items? Which is totally, like, and they, you don't necessarily have an attachment to all of them, and you're just holding them because it's what you've always done.
Well, that's a fair question. I will say on Madrona, I have had to be fairly ruthless here and there. I recently got rid of all of my old tank gear. The only tank gear I currently have on Madrona is stuff that could potentially be used in dungeons nowadays, and only max level dungeons of that. So like 346 and higher tank gear is all the tank gear Madrona has. But that means that I got rid of my Conqueror's tanking set, my TOC tanking set, my ICC tanking set. Like, I had some nice ICC tanking stuff, and that's gone now. And I'm very sad that it's gone.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm interested to see how much it'll actually make a difference on the majority of people. But I guess a lot of it's going to depend on the cost.
Yeah, and it may also cost 1,000 gold just to open up void storage.
Well,
noise. We'll see how that goes. They said don't panic, that might not be the final price, etc., etc.
I don't know. Even like paying any money for that kind of storage, I can't ever see myself getting that. It just seems unnecessary.
Then I guess you'll suffer with 10 bag slots for the rest of your days, or
yep.
Less.
Indeed I will.
The other major thing that they announced was something called transmogrification. Now,
there's a lot of discussion about this.
If you're anything like me, as soon as you hear transmogrifier or transmogrify or transmogrification, you think of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes,
exactly.
Ma'am.
Absolutely.
And then transmogrifier and awesome, awesome strip that Calvin and Hobbes was. So, darn you, Bill Watterson, for stopping writing that strip.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
I still haven't forgiven him.
Transmogrification works a little bit like what Calvin's transmogrifier did. It'll change the appearance of something. So what you're going to be able to do is take a piece of armor that is the same class as your current piece of armor. So for example, let's take Kern. Kern has these stupid shoulders that are like 346 Justice Point shoulders, I guess. And, I don't like the look of them. They're not snazzy, they're not tier, etc., etc. And if I wanted to, I could then use the transmogrifier to make it look as if they were the Beastmaster's Mantle, which is tier 0.5. There's a lot of question as to whether or not you need to have the item in your possession in order to do the transmogrification, or if these things that have been taken out of the game, like tier 0 and tier 0.5 and tier 3 for that matter, if they'll put them back in the game some way to be acquired in order to do transmogrification upon or with them. But basically, your current gear would retain the same stats, but would have the appearance of old gear or different gear. But it has to be the same armor class for sure.
So, I mean, is that just about the only restriction as of right now?
Let's see. Legendaries can't be transmogrified either to or from. They will allow heirlooms. They just announced that heirlooms will be okay to transmogrify to, or from.
But they also specified that any time you trade or do anything to an item that's been transmogrified, that it automatically reverts back to its original design.
Right. So you won't be able to, as they say, send a set of heirlooms that have been transmogrified with tier 13 alt art to your level 10 alt. Which, okay, that's fair enough.
Now, do you have any idea if you have to be able to equip the item?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure. They say that main hand can only be applied to main hand, and offhand can only be applied to offhand. And I know that for hunters, it doesn't matter if it's a bow, a crossbow, or a gun. Any one of those can be transmogrified into any one of the others. So apart from that, I think it does have to be like an axe for an axe and a two-hand for a two-hand, and like specifically a two-handed sword for a two-handed sword.
I see some potential for pretty epic twinking, at least visually.
I think that that's kind of the point of it. I'm really excited about it because, like, it sort of goes hand in hand with the void storage. I have a lot of old gear. I've got all of tier 0.5. I have for Kern. I've got all of tier 0 on Madronic set, like the purple set. I like the red and yellow set. So you know you're gonna see Madrona walking around in full on Lightforge. Well, minus the helm, because I don't like to equip helms, and probably a shield from Karazhan, the shield of the Triptych Ancients, and or the one that breathes fire from Nightbane and Karazhan.
Dragonheart Flame Shield.
That's it. Yeah. I looked in my bank. I don't have that anymore, so I'm just gonna have to go summon Nightbane, kill him, and hope he drops it at some point. Because that's a really awesome shield. And for a sword or a mace, I'm not really sure what I'll use yet, but I'm definitely going to be running around Lightforge, and that makes me really happy.
Wish I could get my hands on the Warlock tier with the wings. Is that 6?
That's tier 6.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I assume the majority of Warlocks will be wearing.
Probably.
There's a good chance of it.
Yeah, Cam said she was definitely going to go in that direction.
It's definitely one of our best looking sets, but it can kind of be a pain to get the group together to go through BT, Sunwell, and Hyjal to get it.
That's true. Unless, of course, you already have it.
Yeah, if you got it beforehand, you're set. You have the best set in the game.
Sort of like if Pally's had tier 2 on them, because I don't. I only have like the Judgment Helm, the original one, and then the one from Onyxia in tier 9.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to have to get an easier but still amazing set like the Corruptor set.
Is that tier 5?
It's tier 5. It is brilliant.
I don't remember what that looks like.
It's got the pointy head with the skulls on it, right?
Yeah, lots of skulls and mostly black.
Oh, with the kick-ass helm.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when Cam got that back in, I guess, BC, and she refused to equip her helm, and Togo was like, no, you have to equip the helm. That's just how it has to be.
So the she helm finally makes the set.
Yeah.
It does for a lot of those Warlock sets.
It is pretty epic, that's for sure.
Yeah, T11 was the one set that nobody liked the helm.
Sad. I love my, that's not tier 11. I love my tier 12 helm, but I hate wearing helms, but mine looks pretty badass.
T12 was a step in the right direction, I think.
I'll have to, like, relook at all my gear and see what I want to run. Well, one of the interesting things was, that you need to have stats on it to switch into it.
It has to have stats apart from, like, armor. Like,
so a lot of the gray gear you can't actually do.
Yeah, for example, you can't do it with the Twill set, which I don't know about you, but that makes me sad.
Well, they said they were possibly working in some statistics or something, right? On those?
Yeah, they're thinking of trying to fix things up so that, you know, because that was popular as, you know, just around town gear.
Exactly.
I remember I actually collected a full twill set. It took me like 3 or 4 weeks to collect it all.
Good
And
God.
then I took a bunch of screenshots of Kern in the full twill set, and then I deleted it.
Huh.
Because I had no bank space as it was.
So you couldn't hold on to the twill.
Exactly. It was like the twill or my Beast Stalker Beastmaster armor.
There's only one obvious answer.
Twill.
Very good. So you must have made the wrong decision.
I
almost hate how in sync Madge and I are.
That is a little horrifying.
I'd be concerned if I were you.
So, void storage, transmogrification. There's one other bit of news that came out, and that is that 4.3 will be the last major patch before the next expansion.
Wow, that seems so quick. I mean, I guess they haven't announced a time for the next one, but once that goes out, you can pretty much like count the months until expansion time.
One would think, and then one would remember that we were in ICC for over a year.
I'm okay with that.
I'm
One
not okay
wouldn't,
with that.
because I was not in ICC for that long.
Let me tell you what, I was in ICC that long. I was in ICC anywhere between 3 to 5 nights a week for a year. So I'm done with that. And I don't really want to see whatever Tier 13 is turn into that. We also got a little bit of news about the instance. It'll be shorter than Ulduar, and there will be three new 5-man dungeons that'll come out in 4.3 that help to introduce the Deathwing raid. So I guess it'll be like Forge of Souls and Pit of Saron and Halls of Reflection in terms of the story, to introduce ICC. So I presume it'll be something along those lines for the Deathwing Raid. And lots of ink phases or encounters will have something to do with Deathwing as well.
I had something to say, but I forgot.
anything?
Oh,
Deathwing?
there was a War of the Ancients was planned as a five man, right?
I think so.
Maybe we should expect to see some dungeons based on the different dragonflights.
That would be interesting because I think a lot of people, even though Deathwing has been, flying around the world now for how many months?
Forever.
Forever. It's been like 10 months. I can't believe it's been that long. He's been flying around frying people for months now, and I think a lot of people still don't really know who Deathwing is exactly.
So they'll need these to sort of introduce exactly who and what Deathwing is.
Yeah, I think so. And I expect to see a lot of people who pay a lot of attention to lore be really pissed off because that tends to happen when Blizz goes and rewrites history.
Well,
I don't
excellent.
mind the occasional retcon.
So you'll have to keep us updated about how far off it is from the original then.
Will do.
Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, I gotta say that I'm a little I feel a little rushed now. I don't know when 4.3 is coming out. Nobody knows at this point. I would be surprised if it showed up much before October, November, I guess. It's not even on the PTRs yet, so give it like 2 or 3 months after it hits the PTRs, and maybe you have an idea of when it's going to drop. I hope it doesn't drop during the middle of like the Christmas holidays and winter holidays and stuff, because that's gonna suck to get that done again. Like, I feel like we were, a couple weeks behind everyone else because we didn't raid, officially, during, the week or so of Christmas, and other people did on our realm, and so I felt like we were a little further behind most people. But I hope we don't have to contend with that again.
I think safe money is it'll be released shortly after BlizzCon. So I'd guess around mid-November.
Oh, good. Midterm time or finals time. It's going to work out nicely.
Oh, yeah.
You'll figure out what your priorities are.
Well, I know what my priorities are, please.
Deathwing, yes.
Exactly.
Guess there wasn't really ever a question about that.
No, it's just going to be a struggle. That's great. Good to know. But yeah, so that's what we know about 4.3 really so far. And 4.4 will bring a world event before the next expansion. And I'm quoting here, the next expansion should be released with a, quote, meaningful difference, end quote, in the release timeline compared to previous expansions. I have no idea what that means.
That means it'll either be significantly sooner or later.
I really hope it's significantly sooner so that we're not in Deathwing's lair for, like, you know, 12 months. A year of ICC has really taken its toll on me.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I didn't do a ton of ICC, so it's not really all that ingrained for me.
Yeah, I can still just close my eyes and just see the bluish floors, and I can hear Syndragoza taunting me. Post-traumatic stress.
What's that thing that Marigold says?
Nice try. No way.
Why not?
I will neither say
ability.
That, nor X's Warlock's current name.
Ugh. You're ruining all the fun.
Spoilsport.
It's what I'm best at.
Vaguely related, I just watched a video of a rogue soloing Marugar 10. Oh my god.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Huh.
How? I don't even know how you would do that.
All I know was he was in a sub-faint spec. I don't know rogue, so I don't know what that means.
That's okay, because you said it, so you already sound intelligent. Don't worry
about it. I sound intelligent, and that's fantastic, because that's all you really need in life.
Yeah, it's like three-quarter of the battle, so don't worry about it.
And that'll bring us into shout-outs. My shout-out this week is to everyone who improved on lava wave damage and other avoidable environmental damage on RAG. Thank you very much. Please keep up the good work. That's a really important key, like, part of the RAG fight.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic. Like, the numbers were so much better this week that it was more than a marked improvement. It was incredible.
Exactly. Axe, how about you? Do you have any shout-outs?
Might as well give a shout-out to Pinkie Pie Swear and 8-Bit Brony. Keep up the great work with your music.
Alrighty. Madge?
Mine is to Void, and I will be attempting to work in the comment Wombo Combo as often as possible into as many different conversations as possible.
Oh, goody.
Yes, the Wombo Combo.
And so, with that, we'll move into the tip of the week. This week's tip.
What is the tip?
This week's tip is don't record a podcast at midnight.
Midnight to
your
to
co-host
two.
May or may not make it through the whole show without falling asleep.
Listen, we are through the show, and I am quite readily awake. So unless you're referring to yourself, I just don't know what you're talking about. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share, any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. That's at ApotheosisET and at KernMoke. Leave comments and rate us up on iTunes. X, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, glad to have you. Is there anything you want to pimp out, blog, Twitter, or anything like that?
Not a thing. Don't look for me online.
Excellent. So, I love it. I guess that'll bring us to the end of our 30th episode on Magic.
I'm X.
And I'm Kern.
And until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.